you know this morning that beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's power in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, when you sit there sometimes, there's been times in your life when you were so beat down or so full of grief and sorrow or so much trouble that you couldn't even say anything, but if you could say the name of Jesus instantly, the Father sends peace to you, Father, and comfort and whatever your need is. So sometimes in human words, we can't even speak the grief that we're experiencing or the troubles that we're facing. But if you can say the name of Jesus, amen, he's as close as the mention of his name,
Jesus.
Amen. And there's power in that name as well. Healing power, forgiveness power, life transformation power. Amen. Jesus, name above all names. Here we go. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names. heart this morning. It can be all filled up with hate or pride or envy. Just a lot of ugliness that we fill it up with. But when you get Jesus in your heart, he's the heart changer. He can do things that no one else can do. He can change a heart and make it a new one. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
Do not adjust your television set or your glasses. I am black. Roger. I've never been mistaken as Pastor Bruce's twin. I'm just a little shorter than he is, that's all. God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that, if you call them by their name this morning, they can't answer. But God saw fit to allow us to come out to the house of worship, assemble ourselves together and praise his holy name. Amen. Back in the saddle this morning, but if you don't see me here on some Sundays, does not mean that Brother Drayton isn't in some church somewhere worshiping, praising God. A couple of weeks ago, I got an invitation to go to Mount Olive in Okeechobee, delivered the sermon there. About a month before that, I was in Lake Worth, another church. And then before that, I was somewhere else. So I'm somewhere praising God if you don't see me. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell a lie. There are a few Sundays I'd be in my bed. I ain't going to lie to you. I might fool y'all, but I can't fool God. But I still get up, get on my knees, and thank the Lord for another day. Amen. Every time I get up and don't have to have somebody grab my arm to help me up, I say, Lord, I thank you. These bones might crack, might make a sound, but I still slide down off of my bed and get on my knees and say, God, thank you. Because I know it's him and not me, amen?
Yeah.
He just smiles on us. Isn't that good? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Said I once was lost, but now I'm found. Said I was blind, but now I see. Oh, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Praise God. If you will, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, I come right now in the holy name of Jesus, realizing, oh God, that you sit high and you look low. I pray, oh God, that I'm just an humble servant trying to do your will, that I would give to people as you give me utterance. Pray, oh God, that you would just bless all of us here by the sound of my voice. Continue to bless us as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We ask that you would keep, like Brother Craig said, Pastor Bruce and his family in prayer. The mom, Miss Debbie, the entire family. And there's the thing we say at the church I was growing up, say, you pray for me, I pray for you. That's the thing we Christians should do, amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was struggling a little bit when Pastor Bruce asked me to get up here. And let's just get this out of the way. God's word doesn't change. The methodology may be different. I can't do it like Pastor Bruce. I'm not going to try. I don't even do it or try to do it like Pastor Pedro. I'm not going to try. But I can do it like Brother Lorenzo Drayton. Amen? So if I get a little loud and I get to moving around this morning, take it in love. Just say that's just him. It's just coming out of him. I've been holding back a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
And if I don't get invited to come back, then okay, well, other people do invite me, so amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You better tell somebody. I thought about a subject, but first of all, Brother Ed, can everybody hear me in the back? If not, do I need to crank it up? Raise your hand. To all these brothers and sisters that are here, all these saints and aints, because I know some aints here too, you're in the right place at the right time. Brother Ed, if you will pull up 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. I'm reading from a Nelson Study Bible, but as you look on the screen when he gets it up, trust me, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe a couple of words different. 2 Kings, beginning at the 5th chapter, 1st verse. That's it. Now Naaman, y'all read up there. Commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him, the Lord has given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out, raised, and brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. If we we'll move down it to verse 9, if you don't mind, please. We jump ahead a little bit, but I would implore everybody to read this entire chapter at your leisure. Verse 9 said, Naaman went with horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan River seven times, and your flesh shall return and restore it upon you. You shall be clean. There's a lot of meat and potatoes between what I just read. So I implore you to read that entire chapter at your leisure, amen? Now, I wrestle with a subject and topic for this. First, I said a miracle in muddy water. But then I said, no, what about a big man, but in bad shape? He was a big man, won a lot of battles, but he was a leper. He had leprosy. Now, my proposition for today would be we must trust the process even when it looks like it's not working. We must trust the process. If it's given to you by God or God's man, even if it looks like it's not working. Amen? Trust the process. Namath had a lot of accolades, medals, won battles, commander. He was an honorable man in the eyes of his master. But he had leprosy. Now, if we look at this disease called leprosy, it starts out small, and then it gradually grows and consumes your body. It's very contagious. You can get it through personal contact. During the biblical days, if a leper was coming close to you and by you, he had to call out, unclean, unclean. Had to know that he was a leper. Now, if you take leprosy, now I realize what they mean when they said there's nothing new up under the sun, and look at and compare it to AIDS today. But thank God that if you're HIV positive and if you don't get help, gradually it will consume you. Your immune system shuts down. But think that we are living in a time where we have medical advancement. People that are HIV now are living long, productive lives. Amen. Thank God. It's not just people like Magic Johnson that got millions of dollars, but normal people now are living much longer because of medical advancement. But back then, during the biblical time, leprosy, it started out slow, and it will consume your entire body, consume your life. But now, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how big a man you are or woman, how much money you have or lack thereof, how good you look or how good you think you look, how fine you are, how fine you think you are. If you were a leper, you was in bad shape. Now let me tell you what I think about leprosy. I personally believe that sin and leprosy have some of the same attributes. Start out small, gradually get worse, get big, consume your life, spread it all over your body. No one is born a big sinner, but yet we are born into this world of sin. You get a baby infant that just born, man or girl, boy, whatever, they're born into this world of sin. That child, when they begin to start sinning, what's the first thing they do? If they begin to realize they're doing something wrong, if they got the hand on something they shouldn't have it, they snatch it back. Because they know mama or daddy go hit it. Or if they do something wrong with their brothers or their siblings, and mom come in the room and say, well, who did this? Who broke my vase? They point at somebody else. He did it, mama. Knowing that you did it. That will also lead to bigger things. You go to a store and you don't have money, and you wind up grabbing something that's worth $50, $60, $70, and you take it and you steal it. It's a bigger sin. I'm not trying to qualify sin, because sin is sin. Little, big, small, or whatever, it's still sin. It's wrong. But it grows and gets bigger and bigger. Eventually, that same child, you may see that child locked up or incarcerated. Those little bitty sins, those little bitty things he did, grew up to bigger things and have bigger consequences, and he's held accountable. Leprosy starts out small. It can start out anywhere on your body, and it grows all over your body over time. It consume you, consume what you're doing, and you begin to look very contagious. Nobody wants to be around you. Now, the reason I'm making these comparisons with sin and leprosy, because I read a lot of things in the Bible. Throughout the Bible is full of examples of how sin grows and how it compares to leprosy. You might be a stainer. You don't drink alcoholic beverages. Okay? You don't drink. You don't drink, consume intoxicating drinks. But you hang around people that do drink a lot. And what's the first thing you decide you want to do? I'm going to take a little nip. And that little nip will lead to a little toddy. Amen, somebody. Amen. After that little toddy, you might want you a little cocktail. And then you want a little eye opener in the morning. And then you may want something to whet your appetite around dinner time. And then to bring it on home, sometimes you might need a little something to help you to sleep at night, get another hit. You end up drinking all day long. But it grows and started from what? A little nip. Now, I know, I don't say Brother Drayton is saying don't go get no drink. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody, some folks are stronger than others. Some folks can hang around and can stay away from others, because I did it. Growing up, a lot of my friends were smoking weed. I ain't talking about that grass that you mow. Weed, marijuana, grass. And I was around some of them. I never touched it, didn't do it. But one day, I started feeling funny. I didn't realize I was getting a contact high. I say, wait a minute, I can't hang around y'all no more, bro. This is not good for me. If I'm feeling like this, what if I was hitting it for real like y'all? You hang around it eventually. If you're not strong enough, eventually, you'll get your hit too. Another example that I came across was an habitual liar. I don't think that people are born telling big, big, big lies. I really don't. You may tell one, no matter how big or small it is, the lie is a lie is a lie. I'm not telling you to lie. You shouldn't lie. Tell the truth. But if you're telling one, what's going to happen later on? You got to tell another one to cover up the first one that you told. Now you done told two lies. Now you got to tell another lie to cover up the first two lies. You done told three lies. You got to tell another one, four, five, and six to cover up that. Now you just a big old habitual liar. You just done told a bunch of lies. You done grew by telling a bunch of lies. It grows and get big. If you hang around these type people, sooner or later, you may start telling a lie. I heard a friend of mine say that an habitual liar would rather tell a lie on credit than to tell the truth for cash. Now, that's somebody a little blind. Amen. You see, you can be a big man, but if you're a liar, you're in bad shape. If you're sinning, you're in bad shape. Amen? Amen. You see, the Bible says that Jesus said to come ye from among them and be ye also separated. that we are separated people. Socrates says, sin is due to ignorance, and the way out of sin is the way of knowledge. Plato, looking at sin, said, no. Living is like driving a team of horses, one tame and one wild. Occasionally, the wild horse will run away, and there's a wreck. So sin is the outbreak of the wild animal that's in us. Socrates. Aristotle came along with his fellow Greek philosophers and said, there is a profound perversity of the will in man. He does wrong deliberately. He does wrong cunningly, daringly. And in the face of right, he said, until we begin to reckon with that fact, we have not yet to scratch the surface to deal with the parameters of sin. All that fancy stuff mean by these Greek philosophers said that we don't know. The Bible is full of examples of men that are in bad shape because of sin. If you know the story of King Uzziah, King Uzziah was a very likable king. If you turn to 2 Chronicles, 26, chapter 19, verse. Well, I go to 2 Chronicles 26, 19. It says, then Uzziah became furious, and he had censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead and before the priest in the house of the Lord, besides the incense and the altar. In other words, let me back up and tell you about this story. King Uzziah. Before any battle, he would always go to the priest, go to the altar. They would burn incense, and the priest would pray over him before he went out to battle. And he won a lot of battles. He won a lot of them. But one day, Uzziah got beside himself. The priest was late. The priest didn't get there in enough time to pray over King Uzziah. So what did he do? Went up to the altar, grabbed the incense, started burning the incense. As the smoke started ascending, King Uzziah began to pray. The priest was tired. The priest got there late. But by the time the priest got there, King was praying. And the priest asked him, said, King, what are you doing? King Uzziah said, I'm burning incense. I'm finna pray. He said, but you can't do that. This place is preserved for the man of God. King Uzziah said, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want to do. Do it when I want to do it. I'm the boss. I'm the king. But let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing to bless out a man of God. It's dangerous when you talk to the man of God any kind of way. It's very dangerous. While King Uzziah was blessing out the priest and talking all that noise and telling him how big a man he was and how bad he was, and he was ahead of everything, he was in charge, he broke out with leprosy. That's not Brother Drayton. That's in the book. While he was blessing out the priest said, King, this place is reserved for the man of God. You might be a king and a big man, but not up here. There's only one king, God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of these type of examples. If you go to Numbers 12, chapter 9, verse, Miriam and her brother Moses. Y'all know the story. Moses married the Cushite woman. Cushite. She was out of her origin, come from East Africa. To tell the truth, she was dark-skinned. Let's just tell it like it was. She was black. Okay? Moses, his sister Miriam, she began to get on him, and she was telling him, y'all know how we know how to get preachers told, telling him about his butt. You know you ain't had no business marrying that Cushite woman. You shouldn't have married her. Why did you marry her? So Moses said, wait, Miriam, hold on, sis. Let's, we'll discuss this at the temple. So they went to the temple, and while they was down there discussing it, Miriam got beside herself and began to bless out the man of God. She was telling him and all the reasons why he should not have married her. But while she was blessing out Moses, while she was telling him off, she broke out with leprosy. That's not Brother Drayton, that's in the Bible. She broke out, and two things happened. They banned her 7 days from the camp, and the spirit that was hovering over the tent disappeared. So in other words, God's spirit that was hovering over them left. They had to wait 7 days for Miriam to come back. She couldn't come back. She had leprosy to after 7 days so that they can move forward. It's a dangerous thing when you bless out the man of God. The Bible says, touch not my anointed one and do my prophet no harm. It's dangerous. Doesn't mean that Pastor Bruce, me, brother, whoever, Tony, Pedro, is always right. No, because if they're always right, then we're serving the wrong God. But it does mean that the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn through. There's a way to approach anybody. Pastor Bruce, can I talk to you, brother? I disagree with what you was doing, man, what you said. You know, let's discuss it. Maybe we can come up with a solution, blah, 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 blah. But I can't go there. Listen, Pastor Bruce, you know you was wrong. Y'all in the faith, man, that's not like I want to fight. No. Be careful how you treat the man of God. Miriam had to humble herself. Look at Pilate. During Jesus' day, Pilate was a big man. Pilate was a very big man. A lot of power. Called a lot of shots. But when Pilate turned over Jesus to the mob crowd, what did he do? He asked for a pail of water. But let me tell you something, family worship center. Water cannot wash away sin. What can wash away sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Trying to wash when you know you're wrong. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Stop. Don't do it again. He was washing his hand because he knew he could find no fault in Jesus, but yet he turned them over to the mob crowd. Amen. Now, let's look at Naaman, the text. Ed, if you turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse, leave that up for me, please. As we talk about Naaman was an honorable man, a man with valor, but yet he was a leper. I imagine that during those times when he had leprosy, that he couldn't be with his family because leprosy was very contagious. You know, you think about COVID these days. When you have a loved one that's on their way out, and I don't mean that in a bad way, you can't go and hug them or grab them or be with them because you might contact COVID. You go to all these stores that got these plexiglass and all this stuff, which I get it to help protect you. You can't hug them, you can't comfort them, you can't grab them, you can't kiss them, and they are in and on their deathbed. COVID, well, leprosy is contagious. You couldn't do the same thing. So I imagine Naaman, when he was being talked to, his wife must have talked to him through the door. Imagine whenever they got Naaman's food, they must have slid his plate, if they could, under the door. And every time he got through eating, I'm sure they might have broke his plate. I imagine that even when Naaman decided to change clothes, they probably burned his clothes. Leprosy was very contagious. You see, Naaman was a big man, but he was in bad shape. There's some things, I don't care what it is, some things that money can't buy. Money can buy what money can buy, but what money can't buy, money can't buy. Amen, somebody. Amen. Naaman was in bad shape, but his wife had this servant girl that was captured, and she was used to helping his wife. And this servant girl, obviously, they must have been treating her pretty well. She said, ma'am, Miss Naaman, I know a man that if you can just get Naaman to, he will know what to do to heal him, or tell him what to do to cure him, or help him with leprosy. And I imagine she came back and told Naaman, this little girl here, she got somebody over in her country that know what to do and help you with your leprosy. Sound like good news to anybody. Amen. Sometimes when we do all that we can do, we done went to every doctor, done everything we can do, we'll try almost anything to get better. And anybody that got a loved one, you see they're suffering, you'll do all you can to help them, unless you couldn't stand yourself if you didn't do all you can to help your child or that loved one. They went on and they found out that there was a man, a prophet by the name Elijah. So Naaman's boss said, you know what? I'm going to write a letter and send it to him and tell him that I have a man by the name of Naaman that needs some help. And the story goes on to say that when Naaman got himself together, got ready to go see this man that knew what to do, they tell me that Naaman was somebody. So Naaman grabbed his chariot. His chariot, they tell me, was lined and trimmed in gold. They tell me that Naaman had rings on every finger. They tell me that Naaman had a change of clothes that folks never seen before. He had servants in his chariot because he was somebody. He was a big man, but he had leprosy, so he was in bad shape. Naaman took on off riding when he got up to Elijah's house. They tell me that knocked on the door, and then the servant, I heard Elijah say, who is he? The servant said, I don't know, but he is in bad shape. He looks like a big man, looks like he got plenty of money, but he got leprosy. Now, even though he had leprosy, I would imagine the Bible didn't say how bad it was, but he must not have had an acute form of it because he was still over his men. He just couldn't talk to them face to face, close proximity, because leprosy was very contagious. But when he made it to Elijah's place, Elijah didn't come see him. He sent a servant out and told him to tell Naaman to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and come away clean. Naaman got mad with that. Why do I have to go to the muddy Jordan River and dip 7 times when I got clean rivers over in Syria? Trust the process. Trust what God tells you. Sometimes we get to the door, get ready to come to church, look outside. It looks like rain. I ain't going. An hour later, not a drop has hit the earth. It looked like it's going to rain, so I'm not going. No. If God laid it on your heart, go. For the Bible says we should assemble ourselves together and worship him. Trust the process. Go. If he tell you to do something, do it. And do it how he tell you to do it. Don't leave it incomplete. Do it the way God tells you to do it. But you must have a personal relationship with God, because the devil will tell you things too. You have to have a discernment. Don't think the devil don't have any power. Don't think the devil can't tell you what to do. He does. Why do you think so many people mess up? They don't have their personal relationship with God. The devil will always be in your ear. Do it. But the Holy Spirit would abide in you. You ain't it. You would be convicted and say, I'm not going to do it because I don't feel right about it. That's God trying to tell you, don't do it. Then all of a sudden you do it, and there are consequences. You're locked up, tore up from the floor, messed up, fighting. Who knows what'll happen? But if you listen to God, amen, somebody.
Amen.
Trust the process. He told him, go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. It may sound unorthodox. Naaman thought that he would come out and wave his hand over his head, call upon the name of his God, pray over him, and he'd be healed. That's not what he did. He said, go dip 7 times. The little servant that was with Naaman said, bro, Naaman, if the prophet would have told you something hard, you would have did it. If he told you that if you just spin around on your head 7 times, flip backward, crack an egg, run backward sideways to get well, you would have did it. He said, dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll come away clean. So you know how we do things. We say, okay, what it gonna hurt? Let me give it a shot. I got leprosy anyway. It may work, might not. Let me just go ahead and do it. Sometimes we do things when we think we've done all we can and done everything else. Why is it that the last thing we do is what God tells us to do after we done tried everything and none of it's working?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we want to do it because nothing else worked. Why not do what God tells you to do the first time? Save yourself some headache. Save yourself some problem. Do what he says to do. I'm guilty too. Amen. Well, we've done all we can. But see, sometimes now God will allow you to do all you can so that when you do come out of it and you do lean on him, he gets the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Go, Naaman, and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, let me tell you something about the number 7 in the Hebrew language. Now, 7 is a number that represents perfection and completion. So my God is perfectly complete and completely perfect. Amen. And he sits at the apex. Mathematical, all these math teachers, you know what the apex is, the very top. If someone is above you, you're not at the top. Amen. If you got an answer to somebody, you're not the boss. You're not it. God answers to no one. He's at the apex, the very top. He is the king. He called a shot. He can speak one word and everything could be all right. Go, he said, and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Let me tell you about the number 7. The world was made in 7 days. There are 7 days in a week. There are 7 colors in a rainbow. There are 7 numbers in a musical bar. Solomon talked about 7 abominations. The walls of Jericho fell down after walking around the walls 7 times, and on the 7th day they blew the horn 7 times, then it come tumbling down. Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and he got Leah. Worked 7 more years before he made her his wife. The book of Revelation also built around the number 7. There's 7 churches and 7 letters. 7 candlesticks and 7 angels. 7 kings and a beast with 7 heads. 7 lamps and 7 veils. 7 crowns and 7 thunders. A dragon with 7 heads a book with seven seals, a trumpet and seven doom. The number seven is a strange number. The young man told Naaman, say, I go on and dip if I was you. I dip seven times like he told me. As I move on, and I got to hurry up here, Naaman went on down to the Jordan River. And to tell me that when Naaman dipped down in the Jordan River, came back up in the name of the Father, looked at his hand, and his hand still had leprosy all over him. They tell me he dipped down the second time in the name of the Son, came back up and looked at his hand and his body, and he still had leprosy. Dipped down the third time, name of the Holy Ghost. When he got up, he looked at his hand. When he got out of the water, he still had leprosy. Dipped down the fourth time. I heard somebody say when he dipped the fourth time, he came up. He dipped down in the name of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when he looked at his hand, he still had leprosy. When he dipped down the fifth time in the muddy Jordan River, he tell me when he came up out the water, he dipped down for the five books of Moses. I heard a preacher say that when he dipped down in the Jordan River the sixth time, when he came back up, looked at his hand, there was still leprosy all over his hand. He began to get angry. He started to walk away. But the young man told him, said, don't leave now. He said, he told you to dip seven times. You see, a lot of times I hear in preachers, other churches that say, 99 and a half won't do. You got to run on to make 100. You got to do what he told you to do. He did not tell you to dip seven times. Y'all know how we do it. We say, oh, well, I'll dip six times. I might as well dip one more time. It ain't going to hurt me. I might as well go on. Let me go and dip down the seventh time. They'll tell me when he dipped down the seventh time, Naaman came up out of the water, looked at his hands. His hands looked new. Looked at his feet, and they did too. His whole body was cleansed of leprosy. You got to trust the process and do what God tells you to do. You got to run on and see what the end is going to be. If God tells you to do it the way he tells you to do it. I can imagine Naaman walked away and stopped, scratched his head and probably said, I almost missed my blessing. I'm so glad that I dipped seven times, just like the prophet Elijah told me to do. I stopped by a friend of worship and let you know one thing. When God tells you to do something, do it. We cannot see and fall down the road as God can. God can see things that we can't see. It looked like rain. God didn't say it's going to rain if they go to church. And if you let it rain on you, well, you're Baptist anyway. Get wet. God is sovereign. He knows everything. There's nothing that he don't know. We might not know what the future holds with us, but we know who holds the future. God does. If he tells you to do something, he does not leave any stones unturned. Do what he said and do it the way he tells you to do it. We like to do things our way. And we fall flat on our face, not going to say, oh, Lord, help me. Amen. Pray before you make big decisions. Pray before you go somewhere. Pray before that job. Pray before that contract. Pray before you hit the road. Pray for God traveling mercies and grace. Ask God, he'll do it, to throw his loving arms around you and protect you. He will. I go down on my knees. I tell him, Lord, I don't have to tell you who I am. We know each other. We're on a first name basis. I know you know this me. Here I come again, Lord. Sometimes I just bow my head and just meditate and pray because he already know what I want. But I always tell him, thank you first for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for the little amount of strength that I have in my body. As I walk around sometimes, I hear people, I talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me everything was wrong with him. I was going to tell him about my bad knee, got a scar from here to here. He started talking out his back, neck, this, that, that. When I got through, I said, thank you, Lord. I'm going to take my bad knee and go. I'm like, Lord, I thank you for this bad knee. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we don't realize how good and how blessed we are with God. Amen. If you can help somebody without hurting yourself, help them. Don't put yourself in, you know, dire strait situation, but help them. Don't miss your blessing. Do what he tells you to do and how he tells you to do it. Your blessings could be right around the corner. Don't miss your blessing. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's it for today. I hope that some of y'all that are big men will think about what I said. Well, ladies, we have to understand that we haven't made it yet. And don't get scared. I tell a lot of people. They say, man, you think the world don't came to the end and you think we I said, hold on, bro, wait. Hold on. I'm still here. You okay. you okay. Because trust me, when he comes, I'm going with him. Ain't no doubt about that. So you're okay, but you need to get it right. Amen today.